want to thank everyone for being here this morning as we take a look in the scriptures to see the title of our lesson is found, of course, in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. And I would like for you to look at verse 14 especially. We go back to deceit. Is something that goes quite a ways back. As a matter of fact, goes back to the very beginning. We see a lot of deceit in our society today. And we think, why is there so much deceit? Well, the Bible teaches there's going to be more and more. And of course, that's exactly what we see, more and more deceit. In chapter 2 and in verse 14, here's what Paul told Timothy. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So since the very beginning of time, Satan has used this powerful tool to deceive people into believing what is not true. So I want to look now at 2 Timothy, which is our main part of our text we're going to be looking at in chapter 3. You see in your outline, I have there the meaning of deceive, to cause, to accept as true or valid, what is false or invalid. Synonyms, beguile, mislead, delude. It implies imposing a false idea or a belief that causes ignorance, bewilderment, or helplessness. The sentence, they tried to deceive me about the cost. Beguile means to lead astray or frustrate, usually by underhandedness. It stresses the use of charm and persuasion in deceiving, was beguiled by false promises. Mislead implies a leading astray that may or may not be intentional. I was misled by the confusing sign. Delude implies deceiving or thoroughly as obscure truth. We were deluded into thinking we were safe. So a clear contrast and choice is before us. And this is what Paul tells the young evangelist Timothy, beginning here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want to stop there just for a moment and focus on what Paul is telling this young man and what he's trying to encourage this young man to understand about being deceived, about the possibility of someone deceiving him. He hasn't fallen into that yet, but it can happen. It can happen to the best of people. It can happen to anybody. But I want you to notice what he goes on to tell this young evangelist here in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So what is he saying here? He's saying here that the Scripture is truth, that the Scripture is sure foundation. If you take and you go to Scripture and you study it, and it's within the subject in which it's talking about, then you can be rest assured that if you do what it tells you to do, you're going to be safe. Here's the problem. Not everybody's willing to do that. And there's so many people out there that want to persuade you not to follow the Scripture. As a matter of fact, some people would say to you that the scriptures are outdated. They don't go along with 2021. They were written so long ago that they just don't fit. You know, the scriptures has fit in every nation, in every age which you live in, regardless. It was great for my great-grandparents. It was great for my grandparents. It was great for my parents. And it's great for us too. That's what we need, is scripture. We don't need an opinion of somebody. We need to read and study the scripture. And we place so much emphasis on studying and reading your Bibles. There's so much that you need to know so that you will not be deceived by someone else. We talked about in our adult class, in the book of Jude, of course, those that had snuck in secretly and were going to try to turn people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a continuation that they continue to try to do even in this day and time. So in our lessons, God repeatedly warns us, do not be deceived. The first passage that I have for us to look at in this section of our lesson is not to be deceived by sin. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. And I want to back up to verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest anyone should be hardened through, now look, the deceitfulness of sin. You see, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture this morning that uses the word deceit, deceive, and deceitfulness. And we're going to see that it is constantly something we have to be aware of. As a matter of fact, I want to turn over to Romans chapter 7 now for just a moment. And I want us to look here at verses 9 through 11. Romans chapter 7 and verses 9 through verse 11. And if you're there, let's follow along. Romans 7 verses 9 through verse 11. I was alive without law, but when the commandment came, sin revived me and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Now I want you to notice something, what the writer here is thinking. Of course, he's speaking here in this particular passage of Scripture, all humanity in general. And there was a time when man was innocent. We go back to the Garden of Eden, for our example. No sin. Not there yet. Not there yet. Man was innocent. But then, as we read in 1 Timothy, we find that indeed that the woman was deceived by that old serpent. He deceived her into thinking that she wouldn't die if she ate of the fruit of that tree. God had lied to her. That's what he told her. He said, you won't die. And so she saw the fruit was beautiful. She saw the fruit was good, and so she ate of the fruit that was in the tree. But old Satan, that's his greatest tool in deceiving people into thinking what they're believing is right when it turns out it's not right. And so sin is just that way. It deceives you. And Paul brings that point out. But he said when the law came, then the law pointed out the sin. And he realized he was in sin. He realized it would kill him if he didn't change. And he did. What an important point that he brings out there. In your outline, you'll see a part A, that sin satisfies our desires, our lusts. The Apostle Paul wrote this, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. I encourage you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I encourage you to notice what James wrote here in this particular passage of Scripture. And we want to pick up our reading here at verse 13. And he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when sin is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Oh, well, there it is again. It brings out the fact of not being deceived. There are so many passages of scriptures that bring this point out. So if we are tempted to sin, James says, you're the reason why you're tempted to sin, because you have the desire. And you gave in to the desire. You didn't have to give in to the desire, you know. You had a choice. It's like when I hear people say, "Oh, I can't believe all these bad shows on TV, and I can't hardly watch a single one of them." Well, you know there's an off and on switch on your television? Yeah. Just turn it off. Yeah. It's people just don't understand that we are in control of that. We are in control of that. We do not have to be deceived. Listen to the warning. Listen to the danger that is there. Listen to what's going on around about us. Listen and understand what he has to say. And that's the whole point that James is bringing out here in this passage of Scripture. Part B on your outline, deception, that sin gives lasting pleasure. Oh, there's a lot of people who think that's the way it is. They say, "Oh boy, I'm so glad I'm getting away from home." We talked about that a little bit this morning. A young person grows up to the point that they're going to leave home. Oh, they feel they've got all this freedom. They don't have to do anything that anybody tells them to do. And you know, there's a lot of us out there that felt that way. But we learned. You're always going to be told what to do. A policeman's going to tell you what to do. Your boss is going to tell you what to do. Your landlord's going to tell you what to do. There's no such thing as no one's going to tell you what to do. It's always going to be there. That's why mom and dad raised us up to understand that you're always going to need to do what you're told to do. So they say it's pleasure. But notice what the Hebrew writer says about Moses. He left a wonderful place. Son of a king. What a great place to be. Pharaoh. I mean, what a great place to be. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Did you catch that? It is a passing pleasure. It doesn't last forever. And then there's the deception that sin does not bring eternal consequences. I would like for you to notice what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, if you'll turn your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice what he had to say in this passage of Scripture beginning in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 beginning in verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Here, listen to what he says. "Do not be deceived." He says, "Neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Look what he's saying here. Look what Paul's saying here. Look at the point he's making here. Look at all the people that make the statement that God made them this way. Why, that's so untrue. That is so untrue. When you were born as a little child, you were innocent. It's not until you had desires and that you gave in to the desires did you become the way you were. So you can't blame God for this. You've got to blame yourself. But notice what he says. Do not be deceived. Look at the list of the individuals that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow. And then there's Romans chapter 1. And I go there because the problem that I see is I hear people make the statement to me, well, I don't agree with what they're doing, but that's up to them, you know. I don't agree with them. But I'm not going to condemn them for it either. Well, God doesn't do it that way, and neither does Jesus Christ, and neither should we. Here's what Paul wrote, beginning in verse 36 of Romans chapter 1. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving their natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves a penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Look what Paul's saying here. Look at the list. Look at the list. You know, when you look at that list, do you not think in your mind, look at what's going on around us? But then, finish the passage. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. Do you know that being silent is giving your approval? Not saying anything at all is approving of what's going on. Oh, I can't do that. My best friend's son, you know, I can't do that. You've got to continue to teach truth. And I'm going to tell you, the word cuts. It's a two-edged sword. And either direction, it's going to cut. So you have to stand up for truth. There might be that possibility, if you stood up for truth, that that best friend might change their mind. You know, Paul told the brethren at Corinth that those at Corinth were once those individuals that we read just a moment ago. But because of their love for Jesus Christ, they changed, they repented, and they were no longer doing those things. Yeah. Everyone upon the face of the earth has an opportunity to repent and to be saved. Everyone does. But unfortunately, not everyone will. That God has given His only Son so that that could happen. There's this deception that sin is not seen and punished by God. And yet the Apostle Paul, as we did our study in the Wednesday night Bible class online in Galatians, we'll turn there to Galatians chapter 6 and notice what Paul had to say there in this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at verses 7 and verse 8 and notice what he said. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. Oh, there it is again. You know, you're going to be amazed at how many times that actually shows up in our lesson. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever of a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Look at what he says. If you're going to sow to the flesh, all you have that's going to come back on you is corruption. If you're going to sow to the Spirit, all you'll have is everlasting life. Which one do you want? It's about choice. It's clearly our own choices, and we have to make those choices. Well, do not be deceived by the error of false teachers. Peter, 2 Peter is where I'd like to go next. Chapter 2, and in verses 1 through 3, as he warns of this. And in our Bible class that we've been studying postcards, and in all the different little short books that we've read, there's always been that warning of those individuals who's going to try to come in and teach a false doctrine. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And many, he says in verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. Okay, there it is again. For a long time their judgment has been idle and their destruction does not slumber. And then Peter goes on to say, if God didn't spare the angels who sinned, what makes you think that he's going to spare you? Oh, yeah, got to always be aware of false teachers. They will always be there. As a matter of fact, the first point A underneath two of your outline, that their teachings conform to the faith. That's the deception that they want to put to people, is that their teachings conform to the faith. But what Paul wrote to the young evangelist Timothy in the first letter that he wrote to him, in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to, there it is, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There it is again. Wow. You see, Satan uses that deceit because it's the most powerful tool he has in his arsenal. He gets people to believe what he has to say or what a false teacher has to say, even when it's not true. I heard many people tell me when I was a young child, oh, people will believe a lie a lot faster than they'll believe the truth. And I believe that. I believe that's true. And then there are point B, deception that their teaching comes from Christ. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Thessalonians. That's not far over where you're at now. Just turn over one page. Come back just about one page if you've got a New Testament like mine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. When he said, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you. Here it is again. By any means, for that day will not come unless there is a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself he is a God. You know, there's a lot of people that are deceived by the Pope, who believe that he is God. Isn't that sad? They're deceived. It's sad. is said, because that's what experience a lot of people have experienced. Deception, part C, that no one can be sure about all the truth. You know, Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We just read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We just read that. All scripture. I want you to turn, if you would, please, to 1 John. And I would like for you to take a look here, if you would, please, at verse 7. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. There it is again. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yeah. So we look in this particular passage of Scripture and we recognize that we have the words of Jesus Christ given to us by the apostles, by the prophets, the apostles being guided by the Holy Spirit, only spoke those things, only wrote those things that were instructed to them by the Holy Spirit. Did you ever think about that? When you go and you read these passages of Scripture, these are not just mere men who have wrote these passages of Scripture. These are men who were guided by the Holy Spirit to write these things for our benefit so that we might understand. Oh, John chapter 16 is another passage that I would like for you to consider at this point of our lesson as well. John chapter 16. And verses 13 through verse 15, and notice what he says. Jesus says this. Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now he's talking to his disciples here. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And then John writes and records Jesus saying, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Yeah. So it's easy to find out if someone's teaching a false doctrine or not. All you have to do is study the Scriptures, and then you will know. Ask questions. I mean, this is an important thing. If you want to be Christ's church, you want to be a part of His church, you've got to ask questions. And then the deception that they, false teachers, are servants of Christ, not deceivers. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians as well. And in this particular passage of Scripture, I'd like to consider verses 3 and verse 4. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, Paul said, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But then he goes on to say in verse 13, He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now look, Paul is telling the brethren at Corinth this many years ago. And it's a warning to us today as well. It's a warning to us today that we have to understand there are those out there who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness and they do not teach truth. Oh, they teach some truth, but not all the truth. And that's the sad part. Then don't be deceived by human wisdom. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 8. When Paul writes to the brethren there at Colossae, here's what he says. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Look at the point. Look at what Paul is saying to the brethren here at Colossae. How important it is that they pay close attention. That there are those teachers who will try to teach some of the things that are not in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but rather following the traditions of men. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 15:9 about those who followed the traditions of men? He said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So their worship is useless. They're wasting their time. That would be a terrible place to be. I would hate to think that our worship that we offer up to the Almighty God this morning is useless. We must always teach truth at all times. I turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and note what Paul wrote to the brethren there through the elders at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14, he said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness in which they lie in wait to deceive. They want to deceive people. They know the truth, but they don't want to teach the truth. You know why they don't want to teach the truth oftentimes? Because it's offensive. It hurts. It's not something we always like to hear. I can remember when my dad and mom would walk out from hearing Brother Moore preach a gospel sermon. Dad would say, boy, you really stepped on my toes today. That's the problem, that today we're fearful to step on somebody's toes and we shouldn't be. We've got the truth. And if we die because we teach the truth, we're guaranteed a home in heaven. That's something we need to do. That's something we need to be aware of. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Here's what Paul writes. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And then he uses the term in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, smooth words. So here, look, deceived by trickery of men, empty words, smooth words. Be not deceived by religious fervor without divine approval. Let me tell you something, as Paul brings out in Colossians 2, 18 and 19, Romans 10, verses 1 through 3, there are many people through false testimonials, visions, experience, and emotionalism get people to change their faith. Yeah, not by truth. And then do not be deceived by evil association. This one's one that I always drilled into me by my mother constantly. Do not be deceived. evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And how true it is. How so true it is. Where we live, the people that we live around. You know, Peter brings out in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 through 8 that Lot sat outside his gate and mourned because the people had become so wicked in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It hurt him very deep. Where we work, oh, there's always those people that are at work, and I was so surprised, and I've mentioned this before, when I worked for U-Crops supermarkets before they sold out to Martin's, you better not say a curse word of any kind. You would get reprimanded, and you would get a write-up. Three write-ups, you're gone. And they were serious about that. And then those same Christian people, after Martin's bought them, had the foulest mouths I was shocked. I was surprised. I mean, it really was a total shock because I certainly did not expect them to use it. I can't believe what I'm hearing. It's okay now. It doesn't matter. You won't get fired for it now. But you know what the danger is? You might spend eternity in hell for it. Oh. So sad. Where we play. You know, where do you spend your time? Do you spend your time around people that drink? Do you spend most of your time around people that curse? If you spend most of your time around people who are very worldly, don't think that you can't be sworn in, invited to come in with them or encouraged to come in with them after a time if your faith is not strong enough. And sometimes, even if your faith is so strong, you can be led astray. Take heed, lest you fall. So we must heed all of these warnings, all the warnings that we are given by the Apostle Paul, by other apostles, by Jesus Christ, who has given us warnings about do not be deceived. Let me tell you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, and this is the last passage we'll look at in our lesson this morning. The lesson will be yours. He said in this particular passage of Scripture here, beginning in verse 31, or we'll back up to verse 30, when he talked about the individual who did not was not profitable. He said, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't say it like a very good place to be at all, does it? The day of reckoning is going to come to all mankind. You're not going to escape it. I don't care who you are. You're not going to escape the day of reckoning. And here's what Jesus says. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, in verse 31, and the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered to Him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed, to my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In verse 41, he says, then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let me tell you, there's only two choices. That's it. You've got to make a decision. In this life, while you're living on the face of this earth, you've got a decision you have to make. And the decision that you have to determine is, do I want to go to heaven or do I want to spend eternity in hell? Because it's the only two places there are. And how you live your life here and how faithful you are here will determine whether or not you'll have heaven as your eternal dwelling place, or whether you'll spend eternity in hell. It's up to you. Everybody has a choice. It's your own choices that you make in life. You have the right to choose. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. Jesus is offering you an invitation. Come. Won't you do that this morning as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?
There it is.